Before I preach, I've just got something that I need to share and remind us of as a church family together. So if you are a visitor here this morning, you are very welcome. It is great to see you. My name is Peter, by the way. I'm one of the elders here at Elsham Community Church. But just for the next couple of minutes, this is really just for a church family here. And church family, I just want to remind us of a prophetic word that was brought to us a couple of years ago. It says, "You are a church of the river." It's based on Ezekiel 47. "A church that is to gather around the water." I felt that God was saying that he was wanting to change the course of the river, to raise it again, to flood out. Looking ahead, I saw the river changing speed, the water speeding up, the landscape changing. The river has been gently meandering, like the river in Cambridge, with people leisurely punting on it. But now I saw white water ahead. In white water, the river has a life of its own, bubbling up with a new, challenging, but exciting pace. It is time to prepare. Get dressed for action. You will get wet. Who sits where in the boat becomes very important when you hit white water. There will be some moving around required. There will be a time to put some things down which are now too cumbersome for white water. Don't forget the past or change your values, but there is a sharpening up that needs to happen. And if you are a member of Elsham Community Church or a regular attender, hopefully that prophetic word is familiar to you. White water rafting. A prophetic word given a number of years ago that we are now seeing coming into being. It mentions about moving about the boat, people moving into different positions. And at the church family meeting last Sunday night, We heard a bit about that and what that is starting to look like. Some changes in roles within the eldership team and things that we are leading on within the eldership team. We heard about people that the elders and wives are meeting with to explore their calling and gifting and what God is saying to them so that we can release them into everything that God's got for them. The prophetic word also mentions about a sharpening up. And we've been doing that together as a church already, haven't we? Been sharpening up our prayer life together. Wednesday prayers, meeting together at 6:30, midday, and 7:30, coming together. We said as elders, that if nobody else turns up, that's fine. We're giving ourselves to this, to pray for all that God has got for us. But so far, there's been on average about 50 people per day at those different sessions throughout the day, coming and just wrestling with God for things in prayer. We need to ensure that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, living in the goodness and the fullness of all that God intends for us. And part of that sharpening up is changing and looking at our Sunday evening encounter meetings, which are now monthly. They're now a bit longer, but they are a wonderful time to just dwell in the presence of God, to rest in his presence, to be filled again by the Holy Spirit, a sharpening up. It's a prophetic word that mentions a change of speed and the landscape changing. That's exciting, isn't it? A change of speed and the landscape changing. If I hold that up against the vision that we believe God has given us as a church, and if I look at the area of reach, to reach every generation, our local community and beyond with the gospel. And we have this faith goal to have a church of 200 plus regular adult attenders. Then when that prophetic word that we see is starting to come into being in other areas, and it talks about a change of speed and the landscape changing, and we think about this vision to have 200 adults here on a Sunday morning, then I say, come on, God, do it. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah? Come on, God. Come on, God. We give ourselves to this. But this is a prophetic word that also mentions challenges. This exciting pace, but at the same time, challenges. And on last Sunday night, Jim shared at the church family meeting about one of those challenges that we face, a challenge in our target for giving. A current target of £59,022. And we shared last Sunday evening how we are going to give an opportunity to respond to this over the course of the year. That the first Sunday of every month will be an opportunity to come in faith, ready to give towards this faith target. Why am I telling you this today? Because next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. So what might that look like next week? It might look like one person coming with a cheque for £60,000. It's one of those national lottery moments where that big thumb, that big finger comes down. It could be you. It could be 60 people coming along with £1,000. Then it's done. It's dealt with. It's over. It could be a number of people increasing their monthly giving by £143 per month. There's 7 months left of this year. That is £1,000. My request to you is, over the course of this week, please come before God and ask what your response is. There's other ways that God can meet this need, but we all have our part to play in it as well. It's an exciting journey. The river is picking up speed, and there are challenges ahead. And we need just to come before God and wrestle with Him for these challenges. And that's all I have to say on that. So please do pray this week. Thank you, Pip. If you can have my next PowerPoint. Wonderful. I shall now preach. It's great to have you with us. You join us this morning at the beginning of our new series that we are looking at together called A Way of Life. Aylsham Community Church, if you're not aware, Aylsham Community Church is part of a family of churches called Relational Mission. And Relational Mission has an apostolic leader by the name of Mike Betts. And Mike published this book last year called A Way of Life. And one of the reviews of this book describes it as a manifesto for the church, a manifesto for the family of churches that make up Relational Mission. Now, the word manifesto is something that we're hearing a lot of at the moment, isn't it? There's an election coming up. Yeah? And I looked up what it meant. A manifesto is a published verbal declaration of intent. So, this book means that the seven chapters within it contains something of the seven intentions that we should be reflected in us as a relational mission church. You with me? Yeah? Excellent. So we're starting this series today looking at the seven different topics that the seven different chapters contain and seeing how they apply to us as a local church. And I also hear that there's another church within Relational Mission who have also starting a series today called A Way of Life. Great timing. Now, how are we going to approach this series? Well, obviously, we're not going to stand here on a Sunday morning and just read out this book. That would be pointless. Most of you have got this book. Most of you have read it already. If you haven't and you'd like a copy, then do get in touch. They're available. We've got copies available for £5. So we're not going to just stand here and read the book or regurgitate what's in it. You can read it at home. But this book is helpful for us in understanding the family that we are part of. So we're going to take the topics that are contained within these seven chapters, look at what the Bible has to say about that topic, and then apply it to us as a church. Is that okay? Excellent. I'm so glad. So the first chapter is entitled Real Families. Real Families. And it looks at the relational side of relational mission. What it means to be in relationship together. What it means to be family together. Friends together on a mission. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And there are so many different stories and accounts in the Bible where I could have gone to think about being friends and family together. But I felt God prompt me to go to Colossians. So that's where we're going today. So if you've got your Bibles with you, then if you can turn to Colossians chapters 3 and 4. In my Bible, there's throughout chapters 3 and 4, it's divided up into different sections, and those different sections have the headings Rules for Holy Living, Rules for Christian Households, and Further Instructions. So that's where we're going this morning. Those three areas, Rules for Holy Living, Rules for Christian Households, and Further Instructions. In the first 11 verses of chapter 3, Paul talks to the church in Colossae and addresses them and talks to them about being in Christ, about their new identity in Christ and what that looks like, to be followers of Jesus, raised with Christ, and putting to death, laying aside their old ways of living. A whole load of stuff to lay down. We're going to pick up the story in verse 12. Under this section of Rules for Holy Living. Here we go then. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Paul reminds us that we are God's chosen ones, that we are in this together. There is an element of plurality about that, that we are chosen by God. Already he's saying that we're here, we're family together in this. And it relates to us as well. Who here has been chosen by God? Yay! Who here has been adopted into his family? Who here has brothers and sisters in Christ? Yeah! We're in this together. We are God's chosen ones. Paul's speaking to us at Elsham Community Church today just as much as he was back then to the church in Colossae in about AD 62. And as God's chosen ones together, he then offers a strategy for living day by day. And firstly, he tells us to imitate Christ, to put on the virtues of Christ, our behavior, our standards, what we should do in being like him, that we should put on compassionate hearts. We should demonstrate kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. With our new identity in Christ, being God's chosen people together, standing before God as holy and beloved, then our lives should be consistent with being in Christ, with our new identity, demonstrating these things, compassion and kindness and patience. And then he carries on and he tells us to bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This is where the rubber hits the road. Some practical help here from Paul as what it means to be a family together. That there are times, just as there are in any family, when we may need to bear with one another. And there may be times when we need to forgive one another. Just like any other family doing life together. And forgiving someone can be hard at times, can't it? Depending on what they've done. But do you know what the key to forgiving someone is? The key to forgiving someone is this: to remember how much God has forgiven you. Paul reminds us of that. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. What does the forgiveness of God look like? Well, it looks like this. God himself is holy and he is pure. And he created us in his image to be the same as him, to be holy and pure, just like him. And he gave us a list of standards to live our lives by. And the Bible calls that the law. But living to God's standards is impossible for us. It's impossible for us. And we get it wrong on a daily basis. The things we think, the things we say, the things we do. And when we get those things wrong, according to God's standards, the Bible calls them sin. And it angers God. It angers God. And God said that there needs to be a payment made for the sin that has been done. And that the payment for sin is death. This is the anger of God, the wrath of God. We need to be aware of that, that if we don't come to God, then actually his wrath is there. And it's something to fear. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. God said a price needs to be paid for the sin that you have caused. Price needs to be paid, but I'm going to send my one and only Son, the most precious thing I have, to stand in your place, to take your sin upon himself, and to pay the price in your place. And that's what Jesus did. He came to earth. He left aside the riches of heaven and came and went willingly to the cross for me and for you. And on the cross, he took upon himself all our sin, everything that we've ever done wrong, everything we've ever thought, everything we've ever said in the past, today, or in the future. He took it upon himself. And in the spiritual realm, there was this exchange of our sin upon Jesus. And he paid the price in our place. And with his last dying breath, he declared, "It is finished. It is dealt with." So that we can stand now before God, holy and pure and beloved, totally forgiven. This is the forgiveness of God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This is the forgiveness of God. That by his blood, we are made clean. And Jesus was taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days, by the power of heaven, he was raised to life again. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And that gives us hope. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. Hope that one day he will return for his bride, the church. That one day he will return and invite us to spend eternity with him in heaven, because we can now enter his presence on a daily basis because we are holy and pure, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. So when Paul says, forgive one another, and if we find that hard, then we just come back to the cross and we remember that what it cost God to forgive us, and then we can forgive one another. Paul goes on to say, and to, that we should do these things. Above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we're trying to be compassionate with people, kind with people, show humility and patience with people, if we try to forgive people and we don't do it from a point of love, then actually it can become distorted. We can do things out of selfish ambition. Paul calls us to love one another, a family together. And then when we do these things, when we love one another, when we demonstrate this compassion and kindness and patience and forgiveness with one another, and we do life together, and we're there loving one another, then the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. Isn't that great? Church family living together in this way, demonstrating the love of Christ, knowing the peace of Christ in your hearts. Isn't that amazing? Yes. It is, isn't it? It's great. And look at the next sentence. Three words. Well, it is in my Bible. It says, and be thankful. And be thankful. There's so much to be thankful for, isn't there? You can be thankful for the compassion that Jesus has shown you, the kindness that he showed you, the patience he's shown you, the forgiveness that he's provided for you by way of the cross, his love for you, the church family that he's put you with, bearing with one another. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so much to be thankful for. What does Paul encourage us to do next? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul gives us a great challenge here, doesn't he? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Read your Bibles. That's what that means. But don't just read it and say, yeah, tick, I've read it today. Let it dwell in you. Let it sink in. Why? Because there's a use for it. To teach one another. To admonish one another, to bring correction or advise them, to urge them. From a point of loving one another, from a point of the knowledge of scriptures, and from a point of wisdom that comes from God. That's what it says here. Put on love, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. It's Paul's encouragement of doing life together. Sound good so far? Excellent. Second section, rules for Christian households. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. There's a lot in those verses. We're just going to take a big, broad stroke across those verses. Christian households. What's Paul doing here? Paul is looking at the relationships within the Christian households. Husband and wife. Parents and children, slaves and masters. Now, we could go into that in detail and look at what that means and talk about work and the slave drivers that we have at work called our managers or Things like that. But just going to take a broad stroke at it. This is in a context of rules for holy living, for being church family together. And Paul now addresses these Christian households and the relationship within those households. It's great having Carrie and Mark with us this morning. Sue and I have had the honor of spending some time with them over the past weeks, just looking at doing some marriage preparation with them. And we met on Friday night, and we were looking at God's plan for marriage and what the Bible has to say about God's plan for marriage. And one of the things we were looking at is that God's plan for marriage is for married couples to come together to make new households, to make new family units. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." That's God's plan. That's God's plan for his people, right from the very beginning of Scripture, that a man should leave his father and mother. There's a time when it's good to be within that household with the parents, to be brought up with them, to obey them. But there's a time when it's right to leave them, to set up a new household. It's part of God's plan for marriage. Why? Well, various reasons. One of the reasons, back in Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. God's instruction for Adam and Eve, straight away. Go and have lots of babies. Be fruitful, multiply. Setting up, God's plan for marriage, setting up new households where children are brought into that for his kingdom purposes. We looked at how marriage is coming together for couples to work out and be part of God's kingdom purposes here on earth. And children being raised in those contexts. And Paul speaks about that now. In the context of church together, God's chosen people together, he speaks about being family together, but then he talks about specific Christian households. And if this is God's plan, if this is God's plan for marriage, God's plan for his people, that new households are created and children brought up in those new households, then it's something that we need to support and fight for. Because we know that God's plans come under attack from an enemy, don't they? God's plans come under attack from an enemy. So doing life together, as a family together, what does that look like at Elsham Community Church? Well, it prompted Tim and Anise in this series of life groups to do the parenting course together. They told me that it was to be a refresher for themselves, but also to be able to encourage other parents. The importance of this relationship between parents and their children. Help and support people with that. From time to time, we run the marriage course. From time to time, we have the honour of doing marriage preparation with young couples. Young couples starting out on this journey who want to get off on this journey called marriage together on the right footing. And we help them and support them in that so that they start well. And when relationships aren't at their best, whether it's between husband and wife or parents and children, we will stand with people as a church, as God's chosen people together, and we will offer whatever help and support we can. Because this is what it means to be real family together. Paul then goes on and gives a couple of further instructions. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us also, that we may open that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We're family together. We are God's chosen people. He has brought us together, but he has not deserted us. He's given us this wonderful mystery called prayer. And Paul encourages us to continue steadfastly in prayer. We have a God that we can come to, that we can wrestle with, that we can intercede towards, and to ask things of. Being thankful, praising him in all things. It's a wonderful God. I already spoke earlier about our prayer together on Wednesdays. Just how wonderful that is. Church family together, coming together on a Wednesday. And just praying to God for these challenges that we face. But also, we are called to give a testimony of what it's like to be part of God's family. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Let your speech always be gracious, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. When I was coming to that verse, when Lou prayed out earlier for the harvest and our parts in the harvest, just real encouragement to me. This is what Paul encourages us to do as a church family. Why? Because when you've experienced something of God's family together that is looking out for one another, that is compassionate towards one another, that is kind towards one another, that is patient towards one another, that bears with each other, that demonstrates forgiveness, all in the name of Jesus, demonstrating his love and his peace, then isn't that worth sharing with the world? Isn't that worth sharing? That we are first and foremost in Christ together, saved by him, forgiven by him. And it's a great message to tell the world. And Paul encourages us to be ready to answer, to be outward looking in that. What does it look like a bit more practically for us as a church to be God's family together? Well, I've asked a couple of people just to come and share. So Gordon and Ben, if you want to just come and share, and whilst they just come up, I'll just tell you what it looks like for us as a family. For us as a family, it looks like this. When your son is going into year 6 at school, is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and you face that battle, then you need the support and the love of a family around you. And we were so grateful for our church family around us, standing with us in prayer, offering practical help with meals and hospital appointments, and having Yasmin to stay over when we were down at Addenbrookes. When it hits the road, it hits the fan, you need family around you. And I'm so grateful to have you guys as my family. And more than that, that when a genetic disorder comes into being in Sue and gets diagnosed in 2011 as a form of muscular dystrophy, and her muscles just continue just to waste away, then I'm so grateful that I have my church family standing with me in prayer, battling for her healing. And at times, there are times when there's practical help as well. She is only at the lead training course this weekend because of people like Penny and Anne and Anise being ready and willing to push the wheelchair, to help her to go to the bathroom, to help her with all the practical things that needs, to get her lunch. She wouldn't have been able to go by herself. It's church family working together. Gordon.
Yeah, over the years, we've been here about 23 years now. just what he has said has been great, because we've been able to contribute to people and they've needed help, thankfully, so far. We like it this way. We haven't needed to call on too many people for that sort of thing. But when we have needed to call on people for advice, for Pat and Clive, when Morris and Rachel were here, when we'd got the kids and we didn't really know what to do with them. Sorry, Cameron, but sometimes we didn't. There were people... See, you're really good. You give us advice and we listen. And even if you're struggling with things of yourself, there are people you can call upon. People have got great wisdom in here. It doesn't matter on the age, colour of the hair or the number of hairs on the head. Lots of people have got different wisdom and advice to help you get through things. And certainly when it comes to the job that I do, I can see really dysfunctional families come. Children who are burdensome, parents who are willingly incompetent or just incompetent, and you can see the effect that it has, because sometimes those children will be taken away from their families and put into foster care and they flourish. The next time they come 6 months later or so, they're entirely different. And you family look after each other really well. You really do. Keep doing it. It's brilliant. Thanks.
It's close now. Just what Peter was saying at the beginning of Colossians 13:12, just the kindness and compassion and gentleness as well. Just with we moved house recently, that's gone really well. The people that kind of came and helped us out, we would have been completely sunk and just unable to do it all if it hadn't been for people just helping out, having children, or just helping to unpack things, or just the helping to load up the van. And people even turned up with their own vans as well. It was just brilliant. It's just, if it wasn't for people around helping us out, we wouldn't have been able to do it at all. And it's just a, brilliant testament to how helpful you lot are. Thank you.
Wonderful. I asked somebody else to share, but unfortunately they couldn't be here this morning in person, so they've sent us a little video. So have a look at this.
Hi, I'm Vlada from Serbia, and I'm leading a Good News Church here in Serbia. I often, when I visit Elsham Community Church, I do like to say that when I'm with you guys, I feel like in my second family. Is that how close your church to us and your friendship is to me? Me and my wife and our children, we spent 4 years in Elsham Community Church, where I came as soon as I become a Christian, more or less, where we came for me to get a training experience and just to be in a place where I can grow up in my spiritual life. And I must tell you, those 4 years were the best years of my life. Seriously, you guys play such a huge role in my spiritual growth. As I said, I didn't know a lot of things then, and you really show me what family means, what church means. I learned lots about the values. It's the place through you God used me to give me a vision of what the church is and what we need to do when we go back in Serbia. I had opportunity to serve. I had opportunity to lead. I met so many friends, and I really feel like when we went back to Serbia, that I left a part of my heart with you, and that part of the heart is still with you guys. You mean a lot to me. Okay, you really means a lot to me. Your prayers, your friendship, just the knowledge that you are there and that there is a friend there who thinks about that, and thinks about us and pray for us and supporting us. It really helps the mission in the heartland as Serbia is to be much easier. It means a lot to me that there is a place where I can go and just be with you and have a retreat and serve and inspire you and be inspired again. Friends that I can talk with and friends that can come and visit us and spend some time with us and add energy to all our work. It means a lot. This kind of friendship, this kind of family ties, this kind of involvement in one another's life in a church, it's just crucial. It means a lot. we are one in Christ. And what we're doing here in Serbia is so much part of you. And what you're doing there in Elsham is so much part of us here. You are in our prayers. We are in your prayers. We are together in all of this. So I just want to say thank you so much for all the good works you're doing. And thank you so much. I don't know if I ever publicly say this, but thank you so much for everything you've done in my life. And thank you so much for everything you've done in the life of my family. And thank you so much for what you're doing in Serbia through us and through all that you gave us when we were with you in those 4 years. So God bless you all. We love you so much. We pray for you. And I'm really hoping that many of you will come and visit us in Serbia. Please come and be with us. Just be part of the blessing, what God is doing here. Be part of the friendship that God is developing. And let's rejoice together what God is doing in our churches. May God bless you all. We love you. Bye.
I'll let him know you clapped. What does it mean to be a relational mission church? A way of life for us as a relational mission church is to be a real family together. We've looked at what the Bible has to say about that. We've heard stories as to the outworking of that here at Aylsham Community Church. It's a great thing, isn't it? Being family together on this journey. Isn't it great? It's great. The way we're going to respond now is quite simple. We've got bread and wine at either side. We're just going to share in communion together. And then I just encourage you just to get into groups with people, friends and family together, and just bless the socks off one another. And be thankful for one another. Yeah. If there are things that people are struggling with, then great, pray for those. But just pray God's amazing blessing. Just encourage people that it's great being family together. And church, do look after our guests as well. Okay. You up for that? Yes. Excellent. We're not going to sing. We're just going to go straight for it. Okay. Pip's going to put some background music on. Let's share the bread and wine together and pray for one another.